Thanks, Victor. You hear me okay?
Yeah.
We can hear you, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I suppose I have to start this off with a little bit of a declaration of interest, having or currently residing three doors down from the Cottage Hospital, but nothing I say will be, curtailed by that. Obviously, there are housing issues. We recognise that within Aberfeldy and within Highland Perthshire in the wider area. It's always been an attractive area for people to move to, particularly retired people. But I agree that the balance of what's happening just now is out of kilter in relation to the availability of homes for local people and for incoming workers, etc. I just want to say a wee bit about the affordable housing decision that the council took, I think probably in about 2017, I think, roughly. My understanding was that there was a proposal to look at this for affordable housing. Council's team tried to negotiate a price with the NHS, but the price that the NHS put on that was the kind of full value. I believe it was up over £1 million, certainly. It was the price that they wanted the council to pay. It just put it out of the council's reach in terms of its ability to purchase and to develop the site, certainly at the time, and that was why the proposal wasn't taken forward. We obviously have a proposal here about holiday lets, and my concern, perhaps, just so that people are aware, that where you propose a development of five or more houses, residential houses, then the developer is due to pay provide at least 25% as affordable housing. Now, they don't need necessarily do that by way of actually building, but if not providing an actual house, then they need to pay a contribution to the local authority in lieu of that contribution, if you like. So I know that there have been a number of comments around about whether this is a device, if you like, to avoid paying the affordable contribution to the council for housing. And again, we have had examples in the past where people have developed places as ostensibly holiday lets initially, and then they seek to overturn that planning condition, if you like, and then become permanent lets. And it's very difficult for the council wouldn't get their contribution after that. Sorry,
John, if we get you to tie up in 30 seconds or so.
Sure. In terms of the community asset transfer process, I think that's a very good suggestion. It would need a community organisation to buy it and lease it, and again to negotiate the price with the NHS. But I'm certainly in favour of giving that a try and happy to support that. I'll leave it there and let others to come in. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, John. Xander, do you want to go next, Xander?
Thanks, Victor. Can you hear me? Yeah?
We can hear you fine, Xander, yeah.
Great, thank you. So members of the community council might remember I did quite a bit of work pre-COVID 2018-2019 on the Cottage Hospital, its ownership, and speaking to the council about why they hadn't progressed with it. So initially I tried to establish ownership, which as far as the council's legal team could establish, there has never been any ownership other than NHS Tayside since it was passed on to the NHS at the formation of the NHS. So we had no sort of recourse from that point of view to try and, because there had been a question about ownership. So as far as it, all legal documentation has been in the NHS's hands. The council did take a decision in 2017. They had been looking to try and get the site for affordable housing. And as John said, the NHS wanted, it was actually, I've got the figure here, 200,000 for it, which the district valuer had valued it for the council at a nil value for affordable housing. That's a special assumption for affordable housing, and the NHS wouldn't sell it for less than their value for private housing, which was 200,000, and they wouldn't give it to the council even for key worker or affordable housing they wanted. And part of the problem here is that both the NHS and the council are bound by best value requirements, which is legislation around ensuring that getting the best for the public pound type situation. So neither were going to give a bit of ground on this at that point. So that was why the council chose not to progress. I've actually got the plans here. I'm quite happy to pass all of this over to you after the meeting, Victor, all the emails and stuff that I've got on it. The council did a preliminary sort of estimate of what they could get out of the site for affordable housing, and they got 14 units, which were 6 2-bed flats, 4 1-bed flats, and 4 3-bed houses. Not an insignificant number, 14 units, pretty reasonable. In 2018, the end of 2018, I had a conversation with the Community Housing Trust around doing a community housing project on the site. So I think Jill Steele mentioned them earlier, and they do a lot of this, and they can help guide the community through the process. And one of the things I would say, the benefits of community-owned housing in comparison to, say, affordable housing done through the council, is that you can discriminate to who you lease it to effectively. So you can choose to give it to local residents and local workers, whereas if the council takes it or it goes through a housing association, we are required by law to use the housing list, which then does not guarantee that it will be someone from Aberfeldy or the surrounding area. So a community-owned housing project has a lot of benefits. I would also say it's not the most straightforward thing in the world. You know, there is a lot of time, and I'm involved with a lot of these in the national park. We're talking years, so it's not an immediate fix, but once you get it, it's a really great opportunity to benefit the town. So in July of 2019...
Can we get you to wind up in 30 seconds or so, Xander?
Yeah, I'll try and speed it up then. We did meet with the council chief executive to try and push for more key worker housing. Unfortunately, that chief executive has now left us and we're onto a new chief executive. And everything's been delayed through COVID, obviously, as well, because anything that was not immediate response has been put in the back burner. However, more recently, I put a motion forward at the Integrated Joint Board for Health and Social Care to require the council and the NHS to work together on a key worker housing project in Highland Perthshire. So there is an opportunity to perhaps come back to this door again and say, well, they're now bound by the policy of the board to look at key worker housing in Highland Perthshire and see if they might reopen this discussion. I think it's possibly unlikely if they've got a private developer who's prepared to come along and pay the money, but it's certainly something, and I think other people have said that we should be making our voices well heard to NHS Tayside on this matter, and I would agree with that. So I think, you know, it's a nice, perhaps, straightforward thing to argue that it's the council's fault for not taking it on, but the council did want to take it on and were, you know, really bound by the legislation around some of this and NHS Tayside's unwillingness to cooperate. But I think there's a lot of opportunity, in particular things like the Scottish Land Fund. But as Jill Steele, I think it was mentioned earlier, we need to establish the demand. So we need to have a survey to get money out of them for that sort of thing, for a community ownership purchase. Perfect.
Thank you, Xander. Hey, Sally Murray, do you want to go next, Sally?
Hi, I don't have an awful lot to add because everybody said basically what I'm thinking. I think there's very much general agreement overall. A couple of things. The Visit Scotland site shows that occupancy in Perth and Kinross and holiday accommodation is on average 38%. That was a 2019 figure. So if 38% is the average, then we certainly don't need any more new accommodation in the holiday accommodation area. Whereas I think every single one of us knows somebody who's desperate looking for a house, especially young people and key workers we need to get these hospitals open. So accommodation for key workers is really important. I was surprised to hear that figure of 200,000 because on the websites it's just price and application. So I haven't any idea what they were looking for the cottage hospital. That to me would have been a real bargain for the council to buy, even to hold on and do something with in the future. So I'm surprised they didn't jump at it. I don't think there's anything else. As I say, everything's been said. The only other thing was I think Terry mentioned what was happening in Yorkshire, limiting houses to for holiday accommodation. And that is something which, as Derek said, we can do in the future once the licensing laws come in and this area could be zoned for planning for holiday lets. Because at the moment, if you build a holiday house, it's restricted to holiday accommodation, and yet a normal house isn't restricted, and I think that's wrong.
Okay, thank you, Sally. And just a reminder back to Xander, to maybe forward us that material you talked about, Xander. Mary McDougall.
Yep, hello. Well, I was interested to hear all that and really interested to hear everybody's views. I agreed somebody mentioned that he felt that the cottage hospital is a community asset, and I would totally agree with that. I think it's an asset that can be used by the community, and it already has been an asset in the past when it was a hospital. It's got all sorts of memories and connotations from that, and it's an historic building, and I think it would be really, it would be disappointing if it just became another holiday, sort of set of holiday accommodation when we've got so much. It also seems to me that it sort of is quite out with what the outcomes are that we're looking at for local plans, and housing is one of the key outcomes. Housing, repopulation of rural areas, and improving equality. These are three key strands, I think, in the planning document. There's also a national planning framework consultation going on at the moment. And I think it's important that we look at that and we look at sustainability of the environment that we're living in. And that covers a whole range of issues. But I think it's just too valuable an asset for Aberfeldy to community, whether it's going to be social housing, key worker housing, used in some other kind of way. I mean, there's all sorts of ideas about how it could be used, or potentially there are. And it's just been really good to hear what everybody has had to say about, Xander sort of giving the legal perspective with it, and about community buyouts. And I know that Jill's done a bit of work on this. Hopefully we can take it forward and do something with it.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Alistair Smith, are you picking up anything from this discussion?
Thanks, Victor. I wonder if I could ask, I'm looking again at the planning application, and one thing that it mentions is that the client has had a telephone and email pre-application discussion, and there is a reference number to that on the planning application. Is that document available for public scrutiny on the council portal, or is that private between the applicant and the planner who has been assigned to that? I wonder if one of the councillors may be able to answer that.
Can Xander or John answer that question?
I'm not actually aware of whether the pre-app information is public or private. Honestly, I have no idea, to be honest. It probably might be, well, it would be open to FOI possibly, unless it's considered commercially sensitive. So I don't think there would be anything to stop someone FOIing it.
Yeah.
And they'll either get it handed over an FOI, or It will be refused on the grounds of confidentiality.
Okay. Okay, I think it does list the planning consultant or the council's planning manager on that, so I'll take it up with them. Also, interestingly, on the planning application, under certificates, it mentions, which I'll just find it again, the declaration is certificates and notifications. Are you or the applicant the sole owner of all the land? And they've ticked yes on that. So that is contrary to what's been discussed today when we believe that the land belongs to NHS Tayside. So what declaration are they making under certificates and notices and declare that they have land ownership certificate A?
It's a good point, Alistair. It's certainly misleading if that's the case. We'll maybe try and find a way of following that up.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have a look at that after the meeting. We can maybe confer on that.
Yeah. I noticed on social media that there has been activity with regards to a petition. If a petition was submitted as an objection, does that count as one objection?
Yeah.
Or is it better that individuals make an objection themselves, so therefore that would count as whether they object or support. I should say whether the petition was for objection or support. If you have 500 signatures on a petition, but that is one petition, would that count as one objection when that went to planning?
I think one objection.
Yeah, I think they take it as one objection, Alistair. It's better if individuals submit their comments separately.
Thanks. And I was just going to say that
just for those who are maybe on the call, that six or more objections mean that it can't be decided by the planning officer and has to go to the planning committee for decision. Yes. So I think we're at 30 or something like that just now. Yeah.
Okay, and if the community council come to our consensus tonight and put in their comments, does that take into account all of those 30 people on the call today who have their opinion? Or once again, am I right in saying that those with an opinion should submit their own other objection or support, their own comment to the council portal?
So we would encourage everyone to submit their own comments, Alistair. The community council have got to try and reflect what we believe are the views in the town about a particular issue. So between the discussion tonight and other sources that people may see, we are expected to make our decision on that basis.
So the community council would have a consensus of opinion from the community, but each individual should also, if they feel strongly, make their submission to the council portal.
So any individual on this call tonight who hasn't made their view known to the council portal, I would encourage them to do that.
Okay.
We'll talk about we'll form our opinion in a moment.
Yeah. If I could just have one last observation, there is whether the land is or isn't in ownership of the applicant. If we assume it's not at the moment, as which seems to be the opinion of the group, there is nothing to stop the applicant applying for permission, because they may want to know they have permission to do what they want to do on the land prior to purchasing it. There's nothing worse than them purchasing the land and then finding out they can't do what they want with the land. So you said at the beginning, Victor, that it's not unusual for this and it isn't. I've seen this happen before, whereby an applicant can put in for planning permission to see if that planning permission would be realised, passed or declined prior to making a purchase. Somebody could apply to put a shed on my garden, but I'm not going to give them permission to buy the land to actually do it. So it's kind of that sort of thing, as I believe. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Alistair. Derek Beaumont.
Sorry, just to come back on what Alistair was saying,
The test is not so much, is the developer the owner, but the test is anybody else the owner? No developer in his right mind is going to buy the property and then see if perhaps he can get planning permission. And in any event, as of Friday, I couldn't see any sign of anyone other than the NHS being the registered owner, what we used to call in theft. So as far as I can see from public records, and that's what counts, the NHS is still an owner, whether or not the developer is also an owner. And therefore, the certificate is wrong. And secondly, I put a post up this morning about what we call Schedule 3, bad development. Most of it's to do with things that aren't involved, like knackers, yards, and all the rest of it. But under Regulation 8, which are listed in the post, there's the effect on of immunity and quietness and whatever else in a residential area. What the council eventually decide to do is depends on how important or how terrible that would be. But in my opinion, Regulation 8 certainly applies to this application, and the developer should not have ticked that Regulation 8 does not apply. If Regulation 8 applies, Schedule 3 applies, then the council have to advertise it to the wider community. And I think both of those should be followed up.
Okay, Derek, I might come back to you after the meeting in the next couple of days just to clarify the point you're making just now.
Yes, sure. No trouble. Yeah.
So noted what you're saying. So as a community council, we have to form our opinion on the application. So we'll do that now, and then we'll maybe just say a few words about what we might do going forwards. So I'm going to ask the community, so there's five of us, I'm going to ask the community council members if they support or object to the application, and if so, why? So Lorraine, we'll get you to go first.
I'm obviously not in favour of it being used for more holiday accommodation, just the same reasons as everyone else has said. I think, following on from what Ross was saying, that if people are putting in objections, they outline the reason for the objections. We don't want more holiday homes. I think it's really important to try and highlight the other effects that it might have on the houses and things in that area too.
Okay, thank you, Lorraine. You were breaking up there a little bit, but we got the gist of it. Elaine?
I object. I think the Cottage Hospital has got to benefit our local community. I think we've got to come together on this, and we have to block this development, and that's what I feel.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Val?
Yeah, totally agree. Can't go ahead. There was a nurse on Facebook looking for accommodation to work in this area, maybe Pitlochry, and she had nowhere to stay. So that nurse couldn't come up here. So why would you put holiday accommodation when a nurse wants to come to Aberfeldy? You know? So yep. Definitely not.
Thank you, Val. Karen?
I also don't support the application. Many of the reasons have been outlined. A couple of examples are, I know young families who are looking and who can't find. I know of teachers who live a very, very long way away. And the most recent example is a quote of, for someone possibly wanting to work here over the summer, of, I kid you not, £2,000 a month to be at the campsite. The balance has changed in the last few years, and something does need to act. So I do also not just don't support the application, but we support a community action for either affordable housing or community-owned housing, whatever that might look like. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Karen. So I object to the application as well. It's clearly not what the demand in Aberfeldy is for. Public opinion is definitely against it. I definitely agree with the point that Ross Dempster made about Infrastructure, you know, that's quite a narrow, busy road at times. Is holiday accommodation suitable in that type of environment? I suspect that almost certainly it's not. So I think that infrastructure to make it work is definitely an issue. I'm interested in the point that Derek Beaumont made about the legalities and the certificate and ownership. So I'll follow that up with Derek before I send a letter away. But we can say from this meeting tonight that Aberfeldy Community Council unanimously objects to the proposal. And as you've seen, that's a fairly easy decision to make. What do we do going forwards? So there's this issue between the NHS and Perth and Kinross Council. Both are duty bound to get good value for their assets. And we have to try and understand that and make sure that we can see if we can find a way into that. I think that's number one. I'm a bit suspicious that the Cottage Hospital has been on the market since 2015. That's 7 years. So in 7 years, no developer has come in and seen an easy way of making a viable project of the Cottage Hospital. So that means, it's very difficult. And it'll be difficult for a community group as well. So I think if we are going to set up a community project, specifically looking at the Cottage Hospital, I think we need to do that with our eyes opened. It might be a very tough ask indeed. We can investigate that, but I think we need to have our heads on when we're doing that. On the wider picture, the demand for housing in Highland Perthshire isn't, you know, a few units or a few tens of units. It's probably hundreds of units. We've had discussions with Dunkeld and Pitlochry Community Councils in the last few months. And it's the same issue everywhere. It's not just Aberfeldy, it's Highland Perthshire wide. And it's become worse since COVID lockdown. Lots of people see towns like Aberfeldy as a really good place to be in, you know, a time of crisis. And it's certainly, I think, is helping drive demand for people coming here. And we see it every day. There's people putting up adverts on Facebook asking for somewhere to live, want to move to the area. So this is a place where lots of people want to come and stay, and that's putting pressure on people who want to work here and people who are born, brought up here and want to stay here. So I think we all know what the issue is. I'm quite clear that the demand is for hundreds of houses, not just a few dozen here and there. It's a big issue. And it affects Highland Perthshire as a whole. We've heard some discussions about community housing trusts and what have you. And we need to get our heads together and work out how we can do that. We need people who can make those things work. So I think it's not just an Aberfeldy thing, it's probably a Highland Perthshire thing. And we need to think about where is it that we throw the net to get people we need. But it's a big issue, and it's probably one of the biggest issues we're going to have to deal with now in the next 5 years or so. Derek, I see you put up your hand again.
Oh, sorry, I'll take it down. I didn't mean to put it up. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Ian Spinney?
Yeah, thanks, Victor. It was Alistair's diligent examination of the planning application that led me to just want to clarify who owns the land, who owns the hospital? And I'm slightly confused on that. Possibly there are two assets there, one the building, one the land that it's built on.
It seems like NHS Tayside own the land and the building.
Right, but a
developer has put in a speculative application for plan permission, which I believe is not uncommon.
Yes, okay, right, that's fine. So there's clarity then that NHS owns both the earth and the brick.
From what we know, that seems to be the case, but we're not 100% sure.
Okay.
Xander?
Thanks, Victor. Yeah, I just wondered if in 2018, the Community Council was going to write to NHS Tayside about the ownership and about their future plans. I'm just wondering if you ever got a response to that and if they'd indicated whether they might be open to having discussions with the community.
So the research we did at the time was to try and find out if it was likely to become good or not. And Jane Duff and myself spent a little bit of time on that. And we were, I think, fairly clear at the end of it that there's no possible common good link to it. If there had have been, that would have given us an extra lever. We didn't get any other specific feedback from NHS Tayside, but I can look back through my records to see if we did. John Duff, did you have your hand up as well?
Yes, Victor, it was just to say to people if they do wish to make an objection, it must be done by the 15th of April.
Okay, I'm aware that we've spent over an hour on that, but that was time well spent, I think. What I'll do is there'll be a record made of this discussion tonight. And I'll get Pat to cut this out and we can distribute the recording. So that may help people with campaigning or information or whatever they want to. Heartland Radio are obviously here this evening and they will make use of the discussion this evening and will probably make either a video or a podcast out of it. So that will get the word around as well. Encourage anyone who wants to respond to do that and do that to the Perth and Kinross portal, the planning portal. The Community Council, we have said we are unanimously against. So the Community Council view holds a slightly, we are a statutory consultee. So that does have some bearing on things. So I wouldn't underestimate that. The longer term picture, we need people to make that work. So if you are interested in being on a community housing trust or whatever, get in touch with us and we'll see who else is interested. I know there's other people interested from Dunkeld and Pitlochry as well. Lorraine, I see you got your hand up here.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to something that John had said earlier about the affordable housing applications. So he said when they go in that the developer then makes a 25% contribution to the council for that, but they don't actually have to do that in the way of actual houses, they can then just make a contribution to the council. So really, what's the point of putting it, the application as affordable houses when they're not actually giving any affordable houses to the community? They're just giving the council a lump sum of money for the chance to build these houses. They're not actually given actual houses. They can just make a contribution instead to the PKC pot rather than giving actual houses. And all these developers come along and give this affordable housing title to these developments, and none of them actually are affordable for people in the area. You know, there was some housing up at the Duntaylor development, but the rest of the houses that are up there are £300,000-£400,000. The ones round at Fishers are nearly £300,000. They were all classed as affordable housing. But if they don't actually have to give houses to the community, what is the point? Because if they're just paying a contribution to PKC and not having to give actual houses, then it seems a bit of a way out for the developer.
My understanding in relation to that, Lorraine, is that where there are more than five houses, then the developer contribution of 25% affordable housing, it kicks in. There are different ways in which they can do this, but if they make it could be houses on site, it could be that it's not sort of feasible that way, but they can provide money which needs to be used for affordable housing within the ward, the Highland Perthshire area. So there are different ways, and these are all agreed between, you know, the council and the developer up front, so they know what they have to contribute in relation to it. It will depend on the size of the site and the kind of lay of the land, as it were. But there are different ways in which they can do this. But the one thing that is clear, that if they are holiday homes, there is no contribution, no matter how many housing units you build. The affordable housing contribution doesn't kick in for any number of holiday homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it wasn't necessarily in relation to the holiday homes. It was just in general that a developer can say, oh, we're doing an affordable housing development, but not actually allocate any of those houses to the community.
There is a definition, or several definitions, of what classifies as an affordable house. And it's quite technical in places. I can certainly let you have it if you wish to see it. But there is a definition of what an affordable house is, and you know, that may not be everybody else's perception of what's affordable, but there is an actual definition of it. So I'll dig it out for you.
Okay.
I have seen it. Thanks, John.
We're going to have to wrap this part of the discussion up. So very quickly, two more. Xander, quickly.
Yeah, very quickly on that point around affordable housing, it's for the council to agree with the developer as to what the affordable housing contribution looks like. So if they're to get commuted sum, that is for to be agreed with the council. And I don't think agree with you, Lorraine. I don't agree that should happen in communities like ours. The other thing is, I've been arguing for a while that we should increase our requirement. So in the national park, we have communities, including Blenathol, for example, where we require 45% of any new housing development to be affordable housing. Perth and Kinross Council were not keen to do that. But when we review our housing policies for our local development plan, communities like Aberfeldy and Kirklochry do need to be pushing for that, so that we are getting a much higher percentage of our housing that is built to be affordable. And then you can't build in these areas without doing that. But as has been mentioned, obviously this development is not subject to it anyway. And I would suspect, just Victor, on your point about why is this coming around now, the point being housing is now, you know, the most expensive it's been in 7 years. So I think it's now become financially viable to do it.
Thank you, Xander. Alistair Smith.
Yes, very, very quickly, I just noticed on the application that the landowner certificate A is replicated on the plan, on the application, and they have signed and stated that no other person other than myself or the applicant was an owner of any part of the land to which the application relates at the beginning of the period 21 days, ending with the date of the application, of which they've dated 22nd of the 12th, 2021. So I think this does need some investigation into who the landowner is.
Right, I'll follow that point up with Derek Bowman, just in case there's been a technical there may have been a technical mistake that we can maybe invalidate the application or something. So I'll check that with Derek. So just finally to say to everybody, there's a council election coming up in May. There are different people with different views on this. It would be no harm at all turning this into an issue at that council election. Right, that's all we're going to say on the Cottage Hospital. Thank you all for coming along for this. If anybody wants to drop out at this point, you can do so. If you want to stay along for the rest of the community council meeting, you can do so. It's going to take us another 45 minutes or so.
Thank you very much, Victor.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Cheers. We'll just give people a minute to decide if they're coming or going.
Thank you.
Victor, one point. What's the deadline for objections?
15th.
Thank you.